For a long time, many years, this was an unimaginable situation. Unfortunately, in the last couple of years, it became fairly obvious that this would be an inevitable outcome. Until about earlier this year, the hope was, of course, that this would be via a power-sharing agreement between the Taliban and the government in Kabul. But then in the last couple of weeks, it became obvious that that is also an unreachable solution. So unfortunately, the predictions of dire outcomes have been long on the horizon, but this stark reality is really shocking.
The Taliban has frightened a lot of people for decades, and now they're in control. And we've learned that they're saying to people, don't worry about that in the past. We're here and we're going to grant everyone amnesty, and you can come out and not fear us. And even women will have every right, of course, under Sharia, which for women is a very different thing from being free. What do you make of that offer?
I listened to the first official press conference of the Taliban this afternoon. And as you said, everything is prefaced with or, confined within the definition of Sharia, which, of course, is absolutely up to the Taliban what that means. So to be totally honest, I do not think that the Taliban as its core really has changed. And they have said this afternoon as much. They started saying, if you're thinking about ideology, we are still the same than we were in the 1990s, but we have learned. What they have learned primarily, in my opinion, is public relations and how to ensure that aid money, which they need, and financial support, which they need, are continuing to flow into the country. That's why I also think the rumors that they are thinking about a transitional government, including elements like Hamid Karzai, Abdullah Abdullah, Heik Madyar, and possibly others from the previous government, may actually be a realistic scenario that they're discussing, because that would make it very hard to immediately sanction the Taliban for whatever they do, because they would include elements and individuals and power forces that we've worked together with for the last 20 years.
So in other words, they may be telling the truth. But how do you convince people of that?
I think this is a misinterpretation, JJ, what I just said. I don't think, I mean, they're telling the truth in their version, but, their version means there is not going to be a significant difference to the way they run the country when they were in charge in the 1990s. It's more window dressing than actual difference in substance. And, you know, me being working for the Counter-Extremism Project, one particular aspect that greatly worries me is their more than cozy relationship with Al-Qaeda. We've discussed this previously on your program, and they haven't changed that attitude. And it's not a question whether Islamist organizations are allowed to come back to Afghanistan. They are in Afghanistan. Several different affiliates of Al-Qaeda in the country right now, as is the Islamic State province Khorasan, most famously. They're already there. The only question is how much are going to the Taliban hamper their operations or not hamper their operations. And they repeated again the claim today that they will not allow Afghanistan to be used for terrorism outside of Afghanistan. That's a very broad definition. You know, what happens if you allow them to train and then they leave the country and 6 months later they do a terror attack? Is that then using Afghanistan, yes or no? There is a lot of room for interpretation that they purposefully leave themselves because they know that they will not break their relationship with Al-Qaeda and other terrorist organizations.
So looking at what the U.S. has found itself in now, which is a situation where they would have to, as they say, respond to any kind of terror activity from what they call over the horizon, 7 hours away, essentially, in Qatar. What kind of terror presence, or how do you think that would impact terrorist thinking, knowing the U.S. is no longer on the ground and the international community is going to be most likely the military forces of the international community will probably be leaving soon, too. How will that impact the thinking of terrorists, the ones that you say are, yes, on the ground there now?
Well, there are three buckets here, right? So the first bucket is the strike capability. I think over the last 2 decades, the U.S. has shown an immense capacity to do this in countries where they have next to no soldiers. Yemen and others are an example. So, you know, once you have the target, you can strike it. The U.S. has demonstrated this multiple times. The question is, how you acquire the target. And, you know, do you have enough assets back in Afghanistan? And giving the intelligence estimates of the last couple of weeks of this potentially holding together until the end of the year, one may ask whether the assets at the moment that the US has in Afghanistan are actually good enough. And then the third bucket is, what does it do to the Islamist terrorist global movement? And one really strong indication that this has a massive impact is the Islamic State of in Iraq, in the Levant, ISIS, as you call them in the United States, has already released several very angry messages on their social media channels saying how double-faced is the US. When we were trying to establish a caliphate, they brought a whole coalition to bring us down, and now they allowed the Taliban to take over. That shows that Afghanistan over the weekend has acquired a massive pulling power for global Islamists. Because now the Taliban can give a version of their propaganda that we defeated not only the United States, we defeated the entire Western community, which was part of ISIS. So, you know, this is really a concerning situation. And I doubt that the Taliban will, you know, bar the borders to foreigners who claim that they just want to be Muslims living in an emirate and really do checks whether these guys want to have actual weapons training while living in Afghanistan. So it is a really concerning situation in the medium to long term, not immediately, but in the medium and long term, I think the risk is really real that we see a firm reestablishment of a massive terrorist infrastructure inside Afghanistan.
Dr. Hans-Jacob Schindler is senior director of the Counter-Extremism Project. He's also the former coordinator of the Al-Qaeda-Taliban monitoring team at the United Nations. J.J. Green, WTOP News.